Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us this week. Speaking to us by phone from his office is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes, and we're glad to have you on the program, Mr. Mayor. Good afternoon to you.
Stan, as always, it's a pleasure. Good to be with you.
I want to point out to our listeners before we get too far into the show that today's program has been pre-recorded, so unfortunately we cannot take your questions live during the show today. But remember, at any time you want to, you can send email for any of our four mayors to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, let's start with kind of a recap story of sorts. Your city's police department, like a lot of police departments do, has put out some numbers about what you did in the past year, and your city recorded an increased number of both drug offenses and drunk driving citations in 2016. And you and I talked about both of those things from time to time on this program. I want to start with the DUIs, if I can. Is this a problem you feel that, in general, municipal police forces maybe don't pay enough attention to, and that was one of the reasons for your department spending a little extra time on it in the last year?
No, good question, Stan. And just to put it in context for our listeners today, the overall crime rate in the city, roughly between 2016 and 2015, stayed about the same. But as you pointed out, in 2016 compared to 2015, drug arrests climbed 12% and drunk driving arrests surged 47%. Here's the thing. In the city, we don't look at things through rose-colored glasses. We understand that there's issues with substance abuse, alcohol, drugs, the selling, the buying, the using, and we want to confront those issues head on. And I want to applaud our officers with the training they've done and also looking at sources of funding from the state through grants that allow us to put officers on the streets during those times that we believe alcohol is being used and then people are getting in cars and driving. So we know it's happening, and we're catching people doing it now at a higher rate. I think all leaders of local communities need to take a very proactive stance because it is going on. And we understand that drugs are a major issue in society. Our governor pointed that out last night in his State of the State address, and I was really happy to see him focus on that and really hire a drug czar in his administration that's hopefully going to allow more resources to locals not only to enforce but also to prevent and treat people who are battling addiction. And in the city, by adding an additional drug detective in our narcotics division, and in the last Board of Works meeting, we officially approved an additional canine officer. So we will have another narcotics detecting canine on the streets in Frankfort. We're wanting to meet this head on. We know it's an issue, and these numbers reflect that our officers are not only recognizing it, but they're finding it. They're seeking it out, and they're putting a stop to it.
You mentioned the DUIs were up in Frankfort by nearly half last year. It seems somewhat statistically unlikely that 47% more people were driving drunk year over year. So is this a case of you and your police chief coming to grips with a place that there had been kind of a deficiency in enforcement?
Well, we're never going to be satisfied with where we're at. As leaders, the chief and I always understand that we've got to push back against status quo, and we've got to become better year after year after year. And so our commitment to the people of Frankfort is to reach out, form better relationships with them. And, you know, these numbers, Stan, I think are also a reflection of the citizens of our community recognizing what's going on around them and calling in tips, whether that be a car that's swerving through their neighborhood or unusual traffic at a home after hours or throughout the day that might lead one to believe that something is going on there that shouldn't be. So I believe these numbers are showing that our chief's focus on community policing, reaching out to the public, listening to them, and empowering them, really saying, listen, you know your neighborhood better than anyone else in the streets. If you're seeing something that doesn't look right, feel right, call us. And these numbers are a reflection of that relationship, I believe, going in a positive direction.
Have you had a chance to look at numbers from any other cities of similar size to see how many drunk driving citations per capita they have versus what you have? Have you been able to sort of compare and contrast at all?
I have not.
I'm kind of wondering, because I wonder if you think it happens more at all per capita in Frankfurt than maybe in some other places, because I think that from speaking to people there and having some extended relatives there, there are people who believe, you know, it's kind of a quiet, sleepy town. Everybody knows everybody. It's a friendly place. And this would be the kind of thing that you might look at it if you are a longtime police officer and say, oh, that's just Joe. As long as he's not hurting anybody, we won't police this too much. But you've kind of brought a different lens to that. Do you see that kind of dynamic might have existed?
Well, we definitely don't play those games in this administration, no matter who it is, no matter who you know, and I'll be the first one to tell you, Stan, that nepotism and conflict of interest, it's a real thing, and it happens in local government, and I can't stand it. You know, Lady Justice is blind, and no matter who you are or who you know or, you know, what your family status is, you better be following the law. And if we catch in the city of Frankfurt and you're not, you're going to suffer the consequences. In terms of per capita with other cities, that would be interesting data to look at. But, you know, here's the thing. Human beings are human beings, and society is obviously comprised of human beings. I think drunk driving is probably happening all around us, no matter what city we're in. We're simply saying that in the city of Frankfurt, we're going to take a proactive stance. We know this goes on in society, and we're going to train our officers, give them the resources needed, go out and seek funding opportunities to stop this at a higher level. And that's what I expect out of our officers, and I know moving forward, Chief Bacon's going to continue to look at opportunities for us to do this even better.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfurt Mayor Chris McBarnes. This show has been pre-recorded, but remember that you can email questions for any of our mayors to ask@WBAA.org or tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. Let's move to talking about the drug arrests. You and I mentioned this a number of times on the show in 2016. They were up a little more than 10% versus the year before. Do you think that's just a starting point? Do you expect those citations and those arrests to continue to rise, at least in the terms of the number of them in 2017?
Yeah, we're battling the drug epidemic head on in the city, and we've taken a very aggressive stance on this. If you're out there, you're using drugs illicitly or you're selling drugs illicitly, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you will be caught. And you know, I think this goes back to, again, providing our public safety officials with the resources and the tools they need, whether it be drug interdiction training to be able to recognize on routine traffic stops a situation or a person's demeanor and correlate that with a substance being in that vehicle or in that home, and also providing things like a new canine officer, which we've done, an additional narcotics detective in our detectives unit. And we know that resources will never be enough, but I am dedicated to giving our officers the tools they need to go out and battle this epidemic in our community. But on the backside of that, Stan, you can't, and I've told you this before, I don't believe you can police your way out of this issue in our society. Again, I'm looking to our governor, and I'm so proud of the stance he took last night, and I'm hoping that more resources come down to local communities that give us the ability to connect people that are addicted, that are battling that disease, with treatment opportunities so they can turn their life around and hopefully be a positive influence in society.
Well, so back to the question, though, when we have this conversation a year from now and we're looking at the 2017 crime numbers, isn't it reasonable to think at this point in January that you're going to see an even higher number of drug arrests, drug citations a year from now than we just saw?
Sure, I hope so, because again, you know, I think in society it's here, it's around us. If we said it wasn't, then we would be in denial. And our officers are committed to going out and becoming better at serving their community every single day. You know, and as Chief said in the newspaper article this past week, we're never going to be satisfied with crime rate numbers. We always want those to be lower. We want to catch people who are doing things illicitly in our community. So sure, you know, that's our expectation. We're going to get up every day. We're going to work incredibly hard. We're going to seek these individuals out, catch the bad guys. And also, you know, I think this goes back to the relationship between the police force and our community. I think these numbers will continue to rise in terms of seeking it out and stopping it in our community if we can continue to build those positive relationships. Our officers can't be everywhere at once. Being a smaller community, at any given time, we have three or four officers on the street, handling the entire city, our industrial park. So we need people in their neighborhoods to call in tips, to let us know what's going on, to come out to those police community meetings. And if we develop better relationships with the people we serve, it's going to lead to better policing in our community.
You are correct in saying that you have said multiple times on our show that you cannot police your way out of the drug problem, and you are among a number of public officials I've heard say that very same thing. I wonder, as these numbers of arrests and citations continue to go up, not just in your community, but it's happening in Lafayette and elsewhere too. I don't want to make it seem like this is just a Frankfurt problem, because it certainly is not. As that happens, is there a way for you to translate back to the people who are the drug users who are being cited that, hey, look, we are arresting more and more people. This is a constant source of emphasis from the police department. Is there a way to use those numbers to, for lack of a better way to put it, scare people into not doing the illegal stuff anymore?
Well, I think more than that, I think what we've done, and I've tried partnering with local organizations like the Way Out Sober Living Home. We have a set of parents in our community that have been affected with their loved ones being addicted to drugs. Some of those have been overdoses that are now organizing walks through different neighborhoods. And more than that, Stan, we're just trying to erase the stigma of mental illness. I think so many people out there, they have this stigma, and when you're in the throng of addiction, you're so scared to reach out and ask for help. And as a leader in our community, I want those people to know that it's okay to ask for help and it's okay to seek us out, because at the end of the day, we want them to live a happy and successful life. And when you're putting a substance in your body and you depend on that substance for your happiness, you're not being all you can be. You're not being a productive citizen. You're not being a good mother or a good father, and we want to be there for that individual. So, yeah, I mean, we're sending the message that drug dealers, watch out. We're coming after you. But at the same time, I want those to know that are affected by addiction in our community, that you're still loved, that we want to help you, that we want you to reach out, and we're going to do all we can to support you as a community and help you get past this obstacle in your life.
Is there any way for you to know whether you've just scratched the surface of trying to solve the city's drug problem, or whether you have been effective at making some deeper inroads into rooting out the causes of this?
I think we've definitely disrupted the drug rings in our community. I can tell you our detectives are very, very, very good at what they do, and they have definitely sent a message to those larger rings, those larger dealers, that, hey, you may not want to do this here. But, Stan, I think that I would be in denial, and I would be dishonest if I said, we've gotten into it so far that we've made a huge difference. I think I've always got to have the attitude that we've just scratched the surface, because we have, and we're going to continue to try to get better. But we know that this is a major issue in society, and we're going to continue to reach out, provide sources to those that are addicted to get them over the hump in their life. We're going to give our police officers the resources they need. We're going to continue to tell our story to our state representatives, our state senator, our governor, to let them know the local communities need more resources when it comes to rehabilitation services. And all of these things have to be ongoing. And the next mayor in the city of Frankfurt, I think, has to take the same posture, because unfortunately in society, this is one of those issues that I fear is going to plague us time and time again, and we must not become complacent when it comes to this issue.
You mentioned mental health and rehabilitation counseling, and that is certainly one tool that a number of communities are trying to use to solve these things. I've been thinking about this as I've been talking with you and with Mayor Rozworski in Lafayette, who's dealing with drug crime as well. And I got to thinking about another factor that I wanted to ask you about. Have you looked at all at income inequality as a possible cause of some of the drug problem? Because your city, like Lafayette, has some very nice historic homes owned by well-heeled residents, and there are some elsewhere in the city. There are poor, run-down areas, and that income gap is a possible cause of why some of these things might happen. Have you looked at all about how to maybe shrink the income gap and make that seem like a more homogeneous community as a way to try to stem some of these problems?
I think that's an astute observation, and I think that that's definitely part of the issue. And you bring up a great point, and that is that economic development and quality of place, having nice parks, creating good jobs in our community, having good infrastructure, it all correlates back to crime. It all correlates back to the drug issue. Number one, you know, I'm a believer in CEPTED, and that's crime prevention through environmental design. If you have well-lit streets, beautiful walking trails, a nice downtown, 21st-century parks, you know, bad guys, they don't want to be in nice places. They want to be in the darker places, the more dingier places. And that goes back to housing as well. You know, in the city per capita, Stan, throughout the state, I believe the city of Frankfort, we're around 38% to 40% rental housing in our city. And I believe that's part of the problem. And over the past 4 years, you know, I've talked to you continuously about our housing initiatives with stepping up code enforcement and utilizing our hearing authority. You know, now we're looking at partnering with the Federal Home Loan Bank and some different programs that we can provide to seniors who fall in that middle-class income gap, but they're not quite low enough to receive some of the federal subsidies that lower-income individuals receive, so they can invest back into their homes, modernize them, and keep them looking nice for a long period of time. We're looking at those things. So through the creation of good jobs like ConAgra and Indiana Packers and Wabash National, bringing Ivy Tech to our downtown, our housing initiative, our downtown revitalization plan, all of these items are in an effort to give people in our city good opportunities, people that move here, the opportunity to have a good paying job that's not only a job but a good career with good benefits. All of these different throngs really go back to helping our crime issue and hopefully helping to mitigate the drug issue in our community.
I tell people all the time that one of the things in my heart of hearts I want to do with this show is show that whatever's going on in an individual community, there's likely something very similar going on in another nearby community. You mentioned the rental home issue. That's something that Mayor Barton is trying to deal with in Crawfordsville. Certainly Mayor Rozworski in Lafayette is doing what he can to try to fight drug crime. I want to know what sorts of conversations maybe you've had with those two gentlemen about the parallels between your cities and whether there's something that can be done that benefits not just one city, but indeed multiple cities that have similar issues.
Well, I can tell you a perfect example, and that's Mayor Tony Rozworski. Mayor Rozworski is a great leader, and I reached out to him 3.5-4 years ago because I had heard that he was tackling these issues head on. And he was so kind and so gracious. He had my entire team over, and he had his legal team there, his building inspector, his code enforcement individuals, and he rolled out what he had been doing with his hearing authority to hold dilapidated homeowners accountable, especially when it comes to rental properties, to a higher standard, to clean up blight and squalor. And so we've been implementing that in our city, and that has helped certain neighborhoods. It's helped stabilize property values and really get rid of some of the worst of the worst when it comes to those rental housing situations. And I love it because it's a transparent process. Those are open public meetings. The public's invited to come. The media's invited to come. And that was an idea that Tony Rozworski had implemented that we put into place here in the city of Frankfort. One thing, because you and I talk about the state legislature and what's going on there, one thing that we're advocating for, Stan, another arrow in our quiver when it comes to the housing market is last year the state legislature okayed and created land banks to be established by second-class cities. So these homes that are tax delinquent across the city will go into tax sales, and then individuals from out of state will look at those as investment opportunities. They'll swoop in, they'll buy the properties for pennies on the dollar, but then they won't invest in the property. They'll get people to come in and live there in a rental situation, and they'll just look at that home as an ATM machine, and it really doesn't give the community a way to protect those properties. We're advocating for an amendment to be made to that bill to allow third-class cities, which Frankfort is a third-class city, to allow us to establish land banks as well, so we can have an organization that really looks at those tax-delinquent properties and brings those in underneath the shelter of a land bank, and then we as a local community can seek out good developers that have the best interests of the city in mind and put those properties into their hands so they can be a bright spot in a neighborhood as opposed to something that brings property values down and adds to crime in neighborhoods. So that's something we're working on with Senator Brant Hirschman, and I believe that that's something that wouldn't only benefit Frankfort, but all third-class cities across the state of Indiana.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Our guest today is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. This show has been pre-recorded, so unfortunately we cannot take your questions today, but we can take them via email at any time. Ask@WBAA.org is the email address. You can tweet us at WBAA News on Twitter. Is there another type of crime the police are preparing to target in 2017 besides drugs and DUIs? Is there anything else that's specifically on your radar where you say we need to address this with more resources?
Yes, domestic abuse and domestic violence. And this is one particular crime that's really hard to police because obviously when loved ones fight with one another, if it's an abusive relationship, it's happening probably behind closed doors in the home where officers obviously cannot see. So one thing that the chief is talking about doing and I'm interacting with him regarding is bringing more awareness to this, having more community meetings that specifically focus on domestic abuse and violence, to educate neighbors, to educate families on what things to look for, and then how properly to relay those to the proper authority so we can step in and we can intervene in that situation before it becomes a violent situation. And that's something, along with the drug crime and the alcoholism, we know is an issue in society, especially when it comes to women, and we want to provide those educational resources to hopefully lower those statistics moving into the future.
Well, one of the things you're talking about there, obviously, is the community being able to provide feedback on what they're seeing and hearing. I noticed that you are also going to begin trying to get more citizen input on possible crimes through the use of the NICSL system that the state police and other local agencies use. Is that correct?
That is, yes. So we're in the midst of developing a strategic communications plan that if a certain event, if a tragedy or an emergency is happening in a certain area, that we will actually be able to send out voice messages and or instant text messages to people that reside in those areas, and also providing an additional tip line that they would be able to respond to those messages anonymously to give input on those situations. You know, with technology advancing, we want to advance ourselves and be able to correlate to people what's going on around them and what they can do to keep themselves safe and their family safe. And again, just strengthening that relationship and opening up the lines of communication between our public safety officials and those that we serve.
On to other things. About a week ago, your city's water superintendent had been put on paid leave. I understand he's now officially been fired. Can you explain how that came to be?
Well, with employee issues, obviously, we do maintain privacy for those individuals, and that is a standing policy in our city. But, you know, just overarching, we have expectations of excellence in our community, and obviously we employ over 200 individuals in this community, and there's going to be human resources issues dealing with managers and employees. That's just part of running an organization. And we do have high standards in the city, and the Utility Service Board took swift and decisive action last week. I believe they carried out due process for this individual, and we wish this individual the best moving into the future. He had been with the city a little less than a year at this point in time, and the relationship just simply wasn't working out. We need to go in a different direction. Obviously, the utilities, it's a $40 million entity, and we need individuals in those positions that the relationship is fluid and positive between the utilities and our superintendent. So at this time, they chose to move in a different direction, and we'll start the search and move forward in a positive way.
Can you give me any sense of what wasn't working out, what caused this termination?
I'll just say the relationship just wasn't there. You know, again, I expect superintendents to cultivate good cultures, cultures of excellence, positive working environments amongst not only the board and those superintendents, but the superintendents and the employees. And the relationship just wasn't there. Again, he's been here a little less than a year. We attempted to work through those situations, but we just felt as though at this point in time we could not resolve those. So chose to go in a different direction.
So what it means is you're now without a superintendent for both your water utility and the electric utility, which is in the midst of trying to navigate a rate hike. What happens now if something goes wrong with one of these two utilities, which are both looking for permanent leaders?
Well, it's important for the citizenry to know that we have veteran employees in both of these departments. So the departments are in very good hands. We have individuals that have been second in command of these departments for years and years and years. So in terms of the interim situation, those utilities are being handily cared for, and obviously our board is there and will interact with the departments in any way to give them the support that they need. What I think this allows us to do is, Stan, it allows us to operate a little more efficiently on the utility side. So we might be able to look at our water department, for example, and approach an existing superintendent and potentially overlap. So potentially have an existing superintendent oversee, for example, our wastewater treatment plant and our water department. If that individual has the correct certifications and the know-how and the willpower, that might be a situation that we can move into that creates more efficiency, that saves the ratepayers money, and allows us a little more streamlined efficiency when it comes to communications. On the electric side, I know that search has begun. It's commenced. It's our utility service board's wishes to have that position filled, hopefully by summertime. And I know that they're really looking for an individual from the outside to come in and take the reins of that department, maybe look at things a little bit differently, someone who can come in with no complacency whatsoever and really push us to make the electric department the best that it can be.
It occurs to me that as we've gone through the course of this show, we've talked about a number of issues where you're seeking feedback from people, you want to be in touch with the community, you want them to give you information. Is that something of a theme for 2017, is trying to reach out to the community and get even in even better touch with more people, let them kind of inform the way that they think the city is headed?
It absolutely is, and it's been since January 1st of 2012. One of our cornerstones is communications, and we're only going to be good leaders if we continuously stay humble and listen to those that we serve, whether it be the police department, the parks department, or our utilities. You know, we engage in several different community meetings throughout the year, dozens really. We have open public meetings on the second and fourth Mondays and second and fourth Wednesdays, and at those meetings, the community is always allowed to come, sign up in advance, and address the various boards or councils. We're active on social media. We want to hear from the people that we serve. Going through the downtown revitalization process was really an eye-opener. So we're going to continue to listen to people to serve them better, but now we also need to get to work on implementing the plans and the scope of work that our constituency has laid out for us. And what I've heard from them is more activities, more recreational opportunities, more downtown living opportunities, better playground equipment in our various parks, better restrooms, modern restrooms in our parks. And so we're going to continue to listen, but we're also going to activate the things they've already told us and implement those things so they can see progress here in our city.
One of the things the city of Lafayette has touted in the last couple of years is the ability through the city's mobile phone app for people to give quick feedback, be it text messaging, be it photos of potholes, anything to city leadership. Do you have anything like that at your disposal, or are you looking at creating something like that?
We do have a contact us section on our website that an individual can get on very quickly from their phone, laptop, mobile device, and send a message to the mayor or any specific department that their issue might correlate to. I have been looking at opportunities for an app over the past 4 years, haven't found anything that I'm quite satisfied with. But one thing also, Stan, that we've enacted here in the past couple of weeks, we now have audio recordings of all of our Board of Works meetings and City Council meetings on our website. So if people go to frankfort-in.gov, maybe they work during the times that our meetings are held. That's okay. We want you to be there virtually. Get on, listen to the meetings. I promise you, they're not boring. You hear great updates from the police, from the fire, from the parks, from the streets. That's going to arm you with information as a constituent to ask good questions and also spread that information throughout your neighborhoods. It's going to take us all to make the city a better place, and we're trying to engage with people any way we can.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time. We appreciate it. Unfortunately, we've run out of time for this program, but we'll do it again next month.
Stan, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And be sure to listen at this time next week for our conversation with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.